All right, Rosa, good morning. Let's begin. So we left off, if you remember, again with the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yanai, regarding what part of the avodah of the seirim is ma'akev. Rabbi Yanai said that the actual drawing of the lots is ma'akeves, is an indispensable part of the avodah. However, again, the hanocha, the placement of the lots on the animal, is not ma'akeves. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, said that even the drawing of the lots is not ma'akeves. So we left off two lines from today's daf is mem, but we left off two lines from the bottom on lamed tes amud beis. So the Gemara says the following: Mesvei mitzvah lahargil. There is a mitzvah to draw the lots. V'im lo higril, and if a person did not draw the lots, v'im lo higril, kosher. So the avoda is still good. So says the Gemara: Bishlama lahach lishna de amrit aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. And remember, we also introduced the machlokis between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Nechemiah about what parts of the Yom Kippur service in general are not ma'akev. So the Gemara says that it makes sense according to what you say, like the last lashon that we mentioned yesterday, according to Rabbi Huda, that everybody agrees that it's not ma'akev. Then lemaiso, whose opinion is reflected in this price? So it's Rabbi Huda, Ella, top of Mem, Ella, Lahach lishna de amrit pligi, but according to the lashon that we said yesterday, which would be Rabbi Nechemiah Rabosai, excuse me, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would say that it's pligi. Then bishlam alaman de amar lo ma'akva hamani Rabbi Yehudahi. Then according to the mandamur, says that it's not ma'akev. Then lemaisa, again, this price would reflect Rabbi Yehuda. El leman de amar ma'akva hamani, but according to the mandamur, says that it would be ma'akev. So ultimately, whose opinion does the Brisa reflect? We'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. So we'll say what the Gemara is trying to figure out over here is the following. We have a Brisa that explicitly says that the actual drawing of the lots is a mitzvah. But if you did not go ahead and draw the lots, it's kosher. So we're trying to figure out ultimately whose opinion does this reflect? To which the Gemara finally answers. The Gemara says, Tani mitzvah lahaniach. So the Gemara says, the truth is you have to amend the Braisa. And the Braisa is actually not talking about the drawing of the lots. Rather, what is the Braisa talking about? The placement of the lots. And therefore, the way to read the Braisa is the following. Mitzvah lahaniach. There is a mitzvah after drawing the lots to place the lots on the heads of the respective animals. Ve'im lo hiniach, and if you did not place the lots, kosher, lemaisa the carbon is still kosher. So also according to this approach, then the Braisa is not talking about the drawing of the lots at all. And it would be then, according to everyone, the drawing of the lots is necessary. Rather, what the Braisa is referring to is the placement of the lots. And the Braisa is saying the placements of the lots are a mitzvah, but not essential. Look at Rashi. Tani mitzvah lahaniach, v'im lo hiniach kosher. And therefore, if you did not go ahead and place the lots on the head of the animal, so the seirim are still kosher. U'baha kuli alma modu. Everybody agrees with this. The b'nesina lo tana bakra, ela chada zimnehu dichsiv v'nasan aron. Ava ba'aliyah tana bakra, dichsiv v'hikriv aron es ha-sa'ir, asher alav, uksiv ha-sa'ir asher alav. So we'll say, Rashi just points out over here the difference. Now, when it comes to the actual drawing of lots, as we already mentioned in yesterday's daf, the Gemara mentions this process twice. Twice. So the repetition of this process seems to indicate to us that the actual drawing of the lots is an indispensable part of the avodah. Well, I should say differently. Whether or not it's an avodah is a different discussion. It's an indispensable part of the day, as opposed to the actual placement of the lots, which Rashi says is only mentioned once, seems to indicate to us that lamaisa, although it's a mitzvah to do it, but it's not an indispensable part of the avodah. So the Gemara says, Tashma, another braisa, mitzvah lahagril ulehisvados. There is a mitzvah to draw lots for the goats. Ulehisvados, and to recite vidui. Rashi says, ulehisvados al soir hamishtaleach. So there is a mitzvah to recite vidui. The soir mishtaleach is the goat that is sent out into the wilderness and ultimately sent off the cliff. So there's a mitzvah to draw the lots, and there's a mitzvah to go out and do vidu and the seir mishtaleach. Higriel, lohis vada. If you did not go ahead, so this is mitzvah lahagriel ule isvados. Lo higri ablo isvata. If you did not draw the lots and you did not do the vidui, kosher. This the avoda, the seir is still kosher. Okay. So the Gemara says the following. So the chitzer, we'll say here we have something very interesting. This price seems to indicate to us that what? That the drawing of the lots is not an indispensable part of the avoda, because clearly the Brisa says that if you did not go ahead and draw the lots, the carbon is still good. So the Gemara says the chitema hachinami lahaniach. I say maybe you'll say the same answer here that we just said before. Maybe you'll say that really the Brisa shouldn't read mitzvah lahagriel, but rather what should it say? Mitzvah lahaniach. That the Brisa is not talking about drawing lots, rather the Brisa is talking about placement of the lots on the animals. That can't be, says the Gemara. Why? Ema sefer, because look at the end of that Brisa. Rabbi Shimon Omer lo higriel kosher lo hisvade pasul. Rabbi Shimon argues on the Tanna Kamma, and Rabbi Shimon says that if you did not go ahead and draw the lots, enachinami, the animal is still kosher, but that if you did not dividui on the seir mishtaleach, the seir would not be good. Would not be good. So the Gemara says, my lo higriel. So when Rabbi Shimon says, if lo higriel, what does that mean? Ilema lo hiniach. If you want to say that lo higriel means lo hiniach, that he did not place the lots, michlal de Rabbi Shimon savar, Hagrola ma'akva. Now I will say again, so just follow this train of thought for just a moment. Now Rabbi Shimon, again, we have the braisa that says it's a mitzvah to do hagrola and vidui. Lahargil, lahagriel, and hisvados. Hagriel means draw lots, hisvados, vidui. But if you didn't do both of them, if you didn't do either of them, lemaisa, the braisa says that the carbon is still good. The animals are still good. Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, lo higriel, if you did not do hagrola, so then it's kosher. But if you didn't do vidui, it's not kosher. This is all for the siyar mishtaleach. So the Gemara says, okay, let's analyze this. What does the higriel mean? If you want to say that higriel, it doesn't really mean higriel, but rather it means what? It means lahaniach, it means the placement of lots, not the lottery. So they both say, what that would mean is the Braisa therefore is not talking about drawing the lots at all, only arguing on the placement of the lots and vidui, in which case then the fact that the Braisa doesn't bring up the drawing of lots indicates to us what? That everyone agrees that the drawing of the lots is an indispensable part of the avoda, that you must do it. And therefore, the Braisa doesn't bring up the case if you don't do it, because there is no case if you don't do it, because the carbon's not good. So the Gemara says, therefore, Mechlad Rabbi Shimon Sever Hagrola Ma'akva. You'd have to then assume that Rabbi Shimon also agrees with the Tanna Kamma that Hagrola, the drawing of the lots, is Ma'akiv. So Gemara says, but one second. Vatanya, but we learned. Meis Echad Mehen. If Rabbi say if you set aside the two seirim and one of them died, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says v'atanya meis echad mehem. Actually, wait, let's finish the Gemara. Meis echad mehem mevi chaveiro shelo b'hagrala divrei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says we bring a second animal and we do not do another lottery. Look at Rashi. V'atanya meis echad mehem la'achar hagrala. Rabbi say again. Let's say now you drew the lots already. You drew the lots. You designated each animal for its particular purpose, and then what happened? One of them died. The efshar od lahagriel ele im kein yavi shnayim achirim v'yelich echad liibud. So I will say again. Remember, you can't really do another lottery unless, of course, you're willing to go ahead and waste another animal, right? Because remember, you can only do a lottery with two animals. So if one of the animals, let's say again, you have two seirim, and the one la'azazel died. So what are you going to do now? So you have two options. Option number one is you can just bring another animal, Hashem. Option number two is you can go ahead and what? Do a whole new lottery, meaning take that surviving animal, it goes to the Ibud, whatever that means, and do a whole new lottery. Rabbi Shimon says you need not do another lottery. You just simply have to go ahead and bring a replacement animal. So Rashi goes on, maybe Echad min Ashuk tachazesh. Maybe according to Rabbi Shimon, you just bring another animal from the Shuk to replace the one that died, v'yechaveiro shalzeh ha'omeid ve'en tzarech lahagriel. And you don't have to do a goral. So we'll say, what do you see from here? That according to Rabbi Shimon, hagrala, the drawing of the lots, is not ma'akiv. Because if hagrala was really ma'akiv, then you'd have to go ahead and bring two new animals and do a whole new hagrala. So we'll say, so now the Gemara goes back and says, so essentially, you can't tell me that Rabbi Shimon says that hagrala is ma'akiv, because it's not true. If Hagrola is not Ma'akev, then Lamaise, again, we're back to square one, which is, what is the meaning of the Braisa quoted above? To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon, lo yada mai kami rabbanam. The truth is, when Rabbi Shimon responds in this brisa, Rabbi Shimon is not sure what the rabbis are actually saying. What does that mean? B'hachi kamar. This is what he says to them. I hagrala, hagrala mamish, you Tanakama. Remember, I will say, what did the Tanakama say in the brisa? The Tanakama said there is a mitzvah to do hagrala and vidui. But if for some reason you did neither of them, or you omitted one or both of them, the selection of the animals is still kosher. So Rabbi Shimon comes along and says to Rabbanon, I'm not sure exactly what you mean by hagrala. Okay, if you mean hagrala mamish, if you're going to say that hagrala literally means the drawing of the lots, then kamriso, then palgina aleichu bechada, then ultimately I disagree with you with one thing. I will say, what does that mean? So therefore, if hagrala means hagrala, so what the Tanakama, what the Rabbanon are saying is the following, that if you omitted the drawing of the lots, or if you omitted vidui, the karban is still kasher. So Rabbi Shimon will say, if hagrala literally means drawing of the lots, then I'll agree with you with one, and disagree with you with the second one. Meaning, I'll agree with you in terms of hagrala, that hagrala is not ma'akiv, but I will disagree with you in terms of what? In terms of vidui. That the Rabbanon will say that vidui is not ma'akiv. Rabbi Shimon will say vidui is ma'akiv. I hagrala dika'amrisu, hainu hanacha. But if on the other hand, the hagrala that you are discussing is hanacha, is the placement of the lots on the animals, then paligna aleichu betarti. Then ultimately, I'm going to argue on you on 2 points. Meaning, because I will say again, if you're going to tell me then that it's hanacha, then I'm going to argue with you both in terms of hanacha as well as in terms of hagrala. Look at Rashi. V'i hagrala da ka'amisu hainu hanacha. Ma'akva palgina betarti. So we'll say again, if you're going to say that hagrala means hanacha, that means according to the Rabbanon, they would hold that hagrala is ma'akev. Right? Because the only thing the Rabbanon are saying is that ma'akev is hanacha and vidui. So if you're going to say that hagrala means hanacha, and therefore you're telling me that hanacha is not ma'akev, vidui is not ma'akev, but hagrala is, then I'll argue with you on 2 points. What are the 2 points? Number one, I'm going to argue with you about hagrala, because you're saying hagrala is ma'akev, I say it's not ma'akev. And number two, I'm going to argue with you about vidui. You say vidui is not ma'akev, I say vidui is ma'akev. So both say the point the Gemara ends up over here is saying that l'maisa, the lashon of the brisa itself is ambiguous. So what we see coming out already is, because remember how this whole thing got started. This whole thing got started only because in the previous brisa, we reinterpreted the word hagrala, lahagril, to really mean hanacha. Well, once we did that, then what that does is any braisa that quotes hagrala leaves us open to the possibility that maybe it doesn't mean hagrala, maybe it means hanacha, because maybe hagrala is just a generic word to refer to certain parts of the process of the shtei asirim. So this is the big ambiguity. And again, the Gemara doesn't resolve it here. So the Gemara goes weiter. Tashma. Par erbosa. Again, remember, all of this goes back to the fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yochanan about which parts of the seirim which parts are ma'akev, which parts are not ma'akev.
So when they talk about ma'akev, all they're talking about is the se'irim themselves. In other words, you're not invalidating any other part of the avodah.
Correct, just the se'irim. We're going to get to invalidating other parts of the avodah in just a little bit. But right now, this is all about the se'irim. Says the Gemara, Toshma, par ma'akev es asar. So we'll say this is a very interesting case. Literally translated, it says, by not doing some part of the par avodah, you will go ahead and invalidate the seer process. And I will say, take a quick look. You see Rashi, Devarei HaMashchil, par ma'akev es ha-so'ir. See it? If you look in Rashi, if you look at the last of the short lines in Rashi, right, there are wide lines at the top, short lines in the middle, wider lines, and then widest lines. So look at the last of the shortest lines on the page. So you see that little hand parentheses there? Okay, so look at these couple lines of Rashi. It's important. Seder avodosehen kachi. Rashi goes ahead and gives us just a short list of the avodos of the days. Just helpful for the next Gemara. So what's the seder? Betchila misvada ala par vidui rishon. The first thing you do is you go ahead and you do vidui on the par. And remember, we're going to see that there are multiple viduim recited on the par. First, you do the first vidui on the par. The acher kach. Magril ala soyer. Then afterwards, you draw the lots for the seirim. Va'achar kach misvada ala par vidui sheni. Then after drawing the lots, you go back and you do the second vidui on the par. vishachto, and you shecht it, umachnis kap umachto, vinosin es hakatoras halayish. Then after that, you go ahead and you take the fire pan, right, with the coals, as well as the ladle with the incense, and you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and pour the ketores onto the fire. Next, vinosin midama par ala kapores. Then you go back out, you get the blood of the par, and you sprinkle it on the kapores. On the kaporis, va'achar kach shochet es ha'soyer. Then you go ahead and shecht the soyer. That's the soyer l'Hashem. V'nosein mimenu al kaporis, and you go ahead and you sprinkle its blood on the kaporis. Va'achar kach nosein midam ha'par al parochas. Then you sprinkle the blood of the par on the parochas. Va'achar kach midam ha'soyer. Then the dam of the soyer. Va'achar kach ma'arid dam. Then you mix the two bloods together. V'nosein al mizbeach ha'panimi, and you sprinkle it on the inner mizbeach. Now I will say, you don't have to worry about that. We're going to go through each part of this avodah. The point that Rashi is trying to show is what? That when it comes to the se'ir and the par, or the se'irim and the par, that their avodos are intertwined. Right? It's not, see, and by the way, now you also understand why the avodah of Yom Kippur was very complicated. Because it's not just the pshat, you know, it flies in the face of what we just learned earlier. You know, we learned in Das Atzmucha, person has to be focused on the task at hand through completion. So the Kohen, interestingly enough, and we'll see why this is, but he would start one thing and then what? Jump to something else. And then go back and finish the first thing. And then jump to, he was all over the place. So if you look at just this order over here, the power and the sword are very much intertwined. So the Gemara says the following. Tashma, par ma'akiv es asoyer, v'soyer in ma'akiv es apar. Not doing some part of the paravoda will go ahead and impact the soyer, but the soyer is not ma'akev the par. Rashi says over here, "Vala soyer inu ma'akev es hapar im hiktim avodas hapar v'hu min ha'ma'achuros l'shol soyer v'asol lifnei soyer ein ha'soyer shayaroi likadim la posla psula posla." The Bible says, so again, if you did parts of the par before you went ahead and did certain parts of the soyer, so the nice, again, it doesn't impact the soyer. Okay, remember, we'll do all of these gemaras actually later. We'll get into these sugyas. The gemara is just bringing this up for a very specific purpose. So bishlama par ma'akev es ha-soyer. So I understand if the par, meaning when we say the par is ma'akev the soyer, maybe not doing some part of the par is ma'akev the soyer service. The akdime le soyer mikame par lo avid velo klum. Because if you go ahead and you do the soyer before the par, so such an act is meaningless. Look at Rashi. I actime le soyer ben al ba'abadim mikame par lo asaklom elo soyer in ma'akev es apar ma'inu. But what does it mean that this soyer is not ma'akev the par? So the Gemara says, ilema di actim matonos de par behecho mikame matonos de soyer bifnim. If you're going to tell me that what it means is that I go ahead and I do the blood applications of the par in the Beis HaMikdash before I do the blood applications of the soyer in bifnim on the kaporos in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then chukah ksev b'hu. That can't be. Why? Because the Torah uses the lashon of chukah. The people say chukah. Look at Rashi. Chukah ksev b'hu. Chukah ksev b'hu. By the way, right? Chukah ksev b'hu. Ta'afid Rabbi Yehuda Moda de advarim hana'asim bifnim. Ksiv chuka, farishina zuba avodas pinim, shari hikdim law eshel chutz mishum echars. Interestingly enough, there is some level of flexibility when it comes to the order of the performance of avodos, with one exception. Anything done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there you cannot switch the order. If you switch the order, by definition, you invalidate the avodah. Therefore, the Gemara says you can't tell me that we're talking about that you're doing the blood applications of the par before the blood applications of the soyer bifnim, because then that would automatically be invalid. El alav, rather, it must be what? Da'aktim matonos de par bifnim mikame hagrolo. Oh, what must we be talking about over here? We must be talking about the blood applications of the par bifnim before the hagrolo, before the drawing of lots. Meaning, I will say, whereas normally the blood applications of the par should come after hagrolo, but apparently if you did them before hagrolo, it would still be okay. Umi de sidra lo ma'akva, ikra hagrola nami lo ma'akva. Now, I've also said, the Gemara makes an interesting jump. The Gemara says, if this is true, that the order of the drawing of the lots is not ma'akev, that if I did something, let's say, related to the par, before I went ahead and drew the lots, that it would not be a problem. The only reason why it wouldn't be a problem is only if what? If the hagrola itself is not ma'akev. meaning an avoda that is ma'akev should be not just ma'akev in its performance, but in its order as well. If the hagrola is not ma'akev in terms of its order, it must mean that ikur hagrola itself is not ma'akev either. To which the Gemara says, lo, no, not necessarily. What are we talking about over here? The actim matonos de par b'mizbeach mikame matonos de se'ir b'hechol. What are we talking about? Where we went ahead and we did the blood applications of the par and the mizbeach before the matonos of the se'ir in the hechol, before the blood applications of the se'ir in the hechol in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Hudi, and this is Rabbi Huda, da'amar dvarim ha'na'asim b'bigdei lavan b'chutz, lo ma'akvi. And this is Rabbi Huda speaking, Rabbi Huda says that any avodos done in white clothing outside are not ma'akev, v'ha b'matonos shebifnim katoni. But one second, we're not talking about things that are done on the outside. We're talking about blood applications of the inside, to which the Gemara says, Ela hamani, Rabbi Shimon hi, da'amar hagrala lo ma'akva. So the Gemara says, Einachinami, you're right. Go back to what we said before. Whose opinion does this price reflect about Sai? This is Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon holds that hagrala is not ma'akev. Because hagrala is not ma'akev, therefore what? Therefore what? Therefore lemaisa, if you did certain parts of the par before the hagrala, even though you've been in violation of the order, it's okay. Why? Because hagrala itself is not ma'akev. Okay, so that's one answer. Vibay, same other possibilities. The other Rabbi Huda, maybe no, it's really Rabbi Huda. V'nehi debesitra la ma'akva, hagrala miha ma'akva. And we'll say the Gemara gives a second answer, which is maybe it's really Rabbi Huda. And even though the order is not ma'akev, hagrala itself, bless you, is ma'akev. Well, so in other words, what? The Gemara made a huge jump just a few moments ago. And the Gemara made the assumption that if the order is not ma'akev, that must mean what? That the avoda is not ma'akev. To which the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe not. It could very well be that the order is not ma'akev, whereas the avoda is still ma'akev. So you could have a situation where you would do part of the par before you would do the sa'ir, and yet what? And yet what? It doesn't mean that the hagrola is not important. The hagrola is an indispensable part. It's just for some reason we're not as worried about the order of the service of the day. So at the end of the day, two ways to understand this particular brisa. Either that the brisa is, remember, the take-home message of the brisa is that you could do the hagrola out of order. That's the take-home message. So there are two ways to interpret that brisa. Either A, that the brisa is reflective of the opinion that hagrola is not ma'akev. If it's not ma'akev, then if you push it out of order, it's okay. Or possibility two is hagrola is ma'akev. It's just for some reason that the order of the hagrola is not ma'akev. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, "Va'oz dula tamayu," and they go according to their reasoning. Now, Rashi points out over here, what are we talking about? "Va'oz dula tamayu, aplukta dalo hisvadekai, umikame tashma parma akiv esar gasinon." So, Rabbi says, the Gemara now is going back actually to the machlokis between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama. If you remember again, Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama, at least according to the most basic reading of the Braisa, was focused on one thing, which was what? Vidui. According to the Tanakhama, if you did not do vidui on the Seir HaMishtaliach, on the goat that's going to be sent out to the wilderness, Tanakhama says the it's still a valid carbon, still a valid offering. Rabbi Shimon says if you omit vidui, then the carbon is not good. So the Gemara says, I'm calling it a carbon, even though it's not a carbon in the classic sense, not being offered up on the Mizbeach, but it still has the status of a carbon. So va'oz dil tamayu, and both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon go according to their reasoning. This sanya, because we learned on the base. This sanya. Ya'amot chai lifnei Hashem lechaper aloh. The pasuk says, this is talking about the seir la'azazel. So Torah says, v'has so'ir asher aloh aloh hagora la'azazel. The seir that has the lot of going to Azazel, Ya'amod chai lifnei Hashem, shall stand living before God, lichaper alav, to atone. So the Gemara says, ad masa yihye zakuk la'amod chai. Now, also, here's what's interesting. So what the Gemara is dashing is the following. Look at Rashi. Ya'amod chai, al karchach le'lamdenu. What is this pasuk coming to teach us? Meaning, what do you mean, ya'amod chai? What does that mean? Let's just say ya'amod. But ya'amod, obviously, if it's standing, it's living. Why do you have to say ya'amod chai? Al karchach lelamdenu. What is it coming to teach us? She'im meis atot tzarech lahavi achir. What it's coming to teach me is that if this animal died, I have to bring a replacement. There has to be a living seer la'azazel. Di'ilo L'may asa. Because if it's not coming to teach me that, then why is the pasuk here? Im tomar shelo yishalchenu ad la'acher matan damim yichtov lifnei yamol lifnei Hashem lechaper alav chay lamali elu she'imeis sarach lahavi acher. So mostly here's what's interesting. So now the Torah is telling me is I need a living seer la'azazel. The shaila now is until when? Until when? Meaning clearly what the Torah is saying is it has to be living. Now of course your simplest answer would be until when? Until you push it off the cliff. That's when. What the Gemara is entertaining is that maybe there's the possibility. You know, so we've had this concept before. It's the same way that, you know, going back to Pesachim for a little bit, that the ikar essence of Karban Pesach is what? Is to eat it. But Lamais, again, if the Karban became tame and inedible, are you Yotze? Yeah. Are you Yotze? It depends. What does it depend on? As long as the blood service, right? As long as the Zrikas Hadam was done. Yeah. So you see this idea that a carbon could almost satisfy its carbonic criteria, even if it doesn't fully actualize. So now what the Gemara is essentially entertaining is, I know this year La'azazel is supposed to go La'azazel, supposed to push it off the cliff, but maybe what they're telling me is that it provides kapara as long as it's alive by a certain point. And once you pass that point, although we want to bring it, the process to its completion, if something happened and the animal is no longer, perhaps there wouldn't even be an obligation to replace it. So Gemara says, until what point in time must the animal be living? This is the Seir La'azazel. So the Gemara says, Ad Shas Matan Damo Shel Chaver Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, the Seir La'azazel must remain alive until the blood service of the other karban, until the blood of the Seir Lahajem is sprinkled. Look at Rashi. Ad Mosai Hiskiko Lios Chai Ad Shas Matanam Shachavir Dichsiv Lechaper. Because what does the Torah say? Ya'amo Chai Lifnei Hashem Lechaper Alav. The Seir Lahazazel has to remain living until there is kapara. What's kapara? Alechaper achi chaper bedamo shel chaveiro. So the Seir La'azazel must be alive until atonement is accomplished through the blood of the Seir La'ashem. Ava mishas matan domim ve'ilich, ava pishlo hitzvad alef yiseda mikros, v'chila mechaper, v'samach aron, imes in tzorech acher, alma vidwe lo ma'akis. Well, Rabbi Huda says something amazing. Rabbi Huda says, as long as the Seir La'azazel is alive, at the time that the Seir LaHashem is shechted and the blood is sprinkled, if right after that the Seir LaAzazel dies, there is no obligation to replace it. Even though what they're both saying, obviously even though you didn't throw it off the cliff, but even more important for our purposes, is even though you didn't get to do vidui on it, even though the Kohen did not get to confess over the Seir LaAzazel, it's fine. So what do you see from here? That according to Rabbi Huda, vidui is not ma'akev. Vidui is not ma'akev. Rabbi Shimon says, Ad Shas Vidui Dvarim. Oh, Rabbi Shimon says, no. The Seir La'azazel is only considered to have fulfilled its purpose if what? If the Kohen had the opportunity to confess on it. But if the Kohen did not have the opportunity to confess on it, and it dies before confession, you'd have to bring a replacement animal. Look at Rashi. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ki deparish taima lekamon, va'ani shema. Okay, so fine. So the Gemara says the following. What are they arguing about? Ki desanya. There are the Mekudas HaMachlokis is in the following idea. So we'll say again, Rabbi Shimon holds. So fundamental Machlokis as to how long do you need the Seir La'azazel? What's the minimum lifespan of the Seir La'azazel for it to be an appropriate carbon? Rabbi Huda, until the blood service of the Seir La'Hashem. Rabbi Shimon, until Vidui on the Seir La'azazel. What are they arguing about? Kedisanya Lechaper. Rabbi will say when the Torah says, Klor is clear that the Seir La'azazel is there to atone. So the Gemara says, Bikaparas domim hakosov medaber. Torah is talking about the kapara that is affected through the blood application. And in this case, it would be over here, the blood application of the Seir La'Hashem. V'chinu omer. And furthermore, it says, V'chila mechaper es hakodesh. Remember again, the pasuk over here is, V'chila mechaper es hakodesh. Literally, he would finish atoning for the kodesh. Mala halon bikaparas damim. Just like over here in that pasuk, it's referring to kapara that is affected through the sprinkling of blood. Afkan bikaparas damim. So too over here by the Seir La'azazel, the kapara that the pasuk talks about is also kapara through blood. Now, Rabbi, I remember there's no blood service for the Seir La'azazel because Seir La'azazel is thrown off the cliff. The only blood service for the Seirim is what? Is the Seir LaHashem. Rabbi Huda is interpreting the Ya'amod Chalif Me'Hashem L'Chaper. The Seir LaAzazel must remain alive until the Kapara is affected. And what does Kapara refer to? Kapara refers to blood service. What blood service are we referring to over here? Of the Seir LaHashem. Divrei Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Shimon says no. L'Chaper Alov. What does the Chaper Alov refer to? B'Kaparas Dvorim HaKosov Medaber. No, kapara means atonement through words. Atonement through words means what Rabbi say? Vidui, confession. Until the Kohen confesses, does vidui on the Seir LaAzazel, Seir LaAzazel must remain alive. Tashma. Sha'alu Tamidav es Rabbi Akiva. So we'll say new topic. So we'll say, listen to this. So the students asked Rabbi Akiva the following question. Allah bismal. So we'll say again, fundamental machlok is between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon. So the we'll get to halacha l'mais in just a few moments. So the Gemara says, "Shalur Tamidas Rabbi Akiva, Allah bismol, mahu sheyachzor liyamin." Well, so listen to this interesting case. We saw yesterday that it's a good omen for the lot of LaHashem to come up in the Kohen Gadol's right hand. So they, as soon as that's Rabbi Akiva, the following question: what happens if the Kohen drew the lot LaHashem in his left hand? Can he switch it over to his right hand? Right? And the Rebbe said, you know, this will be good for public morale. Right? So essentially, can you go ahead and do a little switcheroo before anyone sees anything happening over here? So listen to this. Listen to Rabbi Akiva answer. It's very interesting. Amar lahen, al titnu makom l'tzedukim lirdos. Literally, don't go ahead and give a place for the tzedukim to go ahead and trample. Look at Rashi. Al titnu makom l'tzedukim. Talmidim achokim ala Torah lirdos velim shal bahem lekapeach eschem bedvarim shiyomru lefi ritzonam heim os makabo. So who are the tzedukim? So the tzedukim are the ones who didn't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. Why didn't they believe in Torah Shabbat Peh? Because they said the rabbis make up everything. So Rabbi Akiva says, don't feed in to tzeduki ideology, right? If the tzedukim get wind of this, what are they going to say? Oh, you see, we're right. We're right. There's a specific process spelled out, and you see what? The rabbis don't care. I came up in the left, I'll switch it to the right. So he gives us, don't give the tzedukim, don't give any fuel for the fire. Now, also, the Gemara makes a very interesting observation. Taima, da'al titnu makom l'tzedukim lirdos. Halav hachi, mahadrinale. Now, I will say, based on Rabbi Akiva's response, Rabbi Akiva seems to feel the only thing wrong with switching the lot from the left hand to the right hand is what? Is the tzedukim. Is that you're going to create a potentially bad situation. But one second. What about the fact that the lottery itself is ma'akim? Now I will say, if the hagrola is ma'akim, then what does that mean? Now I will say, if you say that hagrola is ma'akim, then what? When I draw that lot that says LaHashem in my left hand, that means what? The goat on my left is LaHashem. I don't have a right to just simply go ahead and switch the lot LaHashem and put it on the animal on the right. So what is Rabbi Akiva talking about? Rabbi Akiva seems to say, oh, the only problem is the tzedukim. You don't want the tzedukim to think that the rabbis are playing with the laws. But there's a much more fundamental problem. How can you switch the animal that was established with the hagrala LaHashem and now switch it essentially to LaAzazel? To which the Gemara says, no. Amar Rav Hachi Kamri, Allah Goral Bismol, No. They weren't just asking Rabbi Akiva switching the lot. They were saying switching the animal. Meaning Rabbi Osai, again, everybody agreed, the Talmidim were agreeing that obviously if the lot LaHashem comes up on my left, that means what? That Seir on my left is LaHashem. What they were asking, so they were not, see, the Havamina is they were just asking to switch the lots, but leave the animals in place. Now the Gemara says, no. What they were telling us, because we just switch around the animals. So this little goat, this is the Seir LaHashem, but it's not on my left. Could we just switch that goat and its lot to the right and put the other one on the left? So the designation of the animals remains in place. The Hagrola certainly is Ma'akev, but Lamaise, again, this is good for public feeling. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara, and therefore Rabbi Akiva responds, Amar Lahem, that's Rabbi Akiva responds and says, don't do it. Even though Me'ikar Adin, you're not really doing anything halachically per se. I mean, because again, the designation is a designation and that remains. And I understand why you want to do it, but you run the risk of making a chilul Hashem because the tzedukim are going to say that the rabbis manipulate the laws for their own benefits. Tashma. Ilu ne'emar, es hasso'ir asher alav. Hayisi Omer Yanichenu Alov. Rabbi Osai, remember, the Pasuk says, Vahas Soir Asher Allah alav hagora lazozel. Right? Yeah. So remember, so the pasuk says the seir asher alav alav that came up on it, the particular lot. So the Gemara says, if it would have left out the word alav and just would have said the word alav, I would have said that you have to actively place the lot on the animal. Talmud lomar alav. Therefore, the pasuk says that the lot came up. Kevan sha'ala, once and up, rather, it means drawn. Once the lot has been drawn, eino tzarich, then lemaisa again, then you don't actually have to place the lot on the animal itself. The Gemara says, if that's the case, lemai. We'll say, here's the problem. The Torah does say, Allah, alav. So what does alav come to teach me? I lema lemitzvah. If you want to say that it's coming to teach you that there's a mitzvah, michlal dahanacha mitzvah, namilo. So we'll say, if that's the case, you're coming to el alav la'akev. Ushmamina hagrola ma'akva, hanocha lo ma'akva. So we'll say, the Gemara says like this. So what is it coming to teach me? Allah, I love coming to teach you. We'll say the following. That lemaisa, it's certainly a mitzvah. I mean, you can't say you don't need it, because if you didn't need it, why would the pasuk say it? So what is the pasuk coming to teach me? It's a mitzvah. Mitzvah means, we'll say, it means that there's a biblical obligation. Biblical obligation. But if I didn't do it, what? It's not ma'akev. So we'll say again, what comes out is hagrola, the Gemara suggesting, hagrola is ma'akev. Hanocha, which is a mitzvah, is not ma'akev. But again, so it's a mitzvah, you should do it. But if you didn't do it, it's not ma'akev. Amar Rava, hachi kamar. This is what it means to say. Ilu ne'emar asher alav, hayisi omer, yani chena alav ad shas shchita. If it would have just said alav without alav, I would have said that you have to actually place the lot on the animal, and it must remain on the animal until the time of shchita. Talmud lomar asher alav. Therefore, the pasuk says asher alav. Kevan sha'Allah shuv einot tzarech. Once it's been on the animal, then I'm going to say what? Even if it doesn't remain there the whole time, that's enough. You don't have to keep it on there the entire time. Tashma va'asol chatos hagoral oseu chatos ve'in hashem oseu chatos. So we'll say, interesting enough, so the pasuk says v'hikriv aron es hasoir asher Allah alav hagoral hashem va'asol chatos. So the Gemara dashes over here that what makes it a chatos? Hagora, the goral itself makes it a chatos. Ve'in hashem oseu chatos. So also, what does it mean, in hashem? In hashem means that if you were to go ahead and, let's say that animal's lashem, verbal designation would not create a chatos. It's only the goral that creates a chatos. So the Gemara says, sheyachol, because you might have said, balodinu, you can make a kavachomer with the kavachomer. Uma b'makom shelo kidish hagora kidush hashem. Rabbi say, in a circumstance where the goral does not establish the sanctity of the animal, but yet again verbal designation does. Makom shekidish hagora ino din shi kadesh hashem. Then all the more so, what, in a place, in a situation where the goral does sanctify, of course, then verbal designation also. What I'm saying over here is, if verbal designation is what works by every other carbon, Rashi points out over here is talking about other carbonos that require pairs. For example, again, he says kinei zavin v'zavos v'yoldos. So, for example, a zav or a zava or a yoledes bring bird pairs. How do you determine which bird pair, which bird goes to what? Which is a chatas? Which is an ola? How do you determine that? And the answer is verbal designation. You say this bird is for this, and this bird is for that. So the Gemara says, in general, the way carbonos are established is through verbal designation. So if in a case where there is no drawing of the lots, lemaisa again, verbal designation works. So of course, again, we would assume that where there is a usage of lots, verbal designation should also work. To which the Gemara says, Talmud lomar va'asol chatos hagoral oseh chatos ve'in hashem oseh chatos. Therefore, the Gemara says, no, the pasuk says, va'aso chatos, you will make, how do you make it a chatos? The goral makes it a chatos, and verbal designation does not. So we'll say again, just to close out with a little bit of halacha l'maisa, the Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, this is in Perek Gimel, halacha Gimel, says the following. The Rambam writes, Kohanim. So listen to this. So the Rambam writes, Taraf Bakalfi Vehela Shnegoroth Bishte Yadav, the Shem Snea Seirim Uposeach Yadav. So he goes through the whole process as we described earlier in the Mishnah. He reaches his hands into the Kalfi, into the box at the same time, pulls out two gorolos. If the one Lahashem comes out on his right hand, the skant who's standing on his right says, Ishi Kohen Gadol Hagbeim, and lift up your right hand. If the one Lahashem comes up on his left, the Rosh Pesach, who's standing on his left, says, Ishei Kohen Gadol, lift up your hand. And he, V'nosein Shnei HaGorolos Al Shneihem. And he actively places the two lots on the two animals. Shal Yamin Al Yamin, V'shal Smol Al Smol. He places the lot of the right hand on the animal on his right side, the lot in his left hand on his left side. V'im Lo Nasan, Lo Ike Ela Shechisa Mitzvah. And if he did not place the lots on the animals, so that is not ma'akif. Placement is not ma'akif. Placement is a dispensable part of the service. Rather, but what? You missed out on a mitzvah. So it's a mitzvah to place the lots on the animals, but if you did not place them, you're okay. However, mitzvah shehanocha, mitzvah she'ena ma'akeves, because the placement of the lots on the animal is a mitzvah, but it's not ma'akev, it's not necessary. V'ha'agrola ma'akeves afa pi she'ena avoda. But the actual drawing of the lots is ma'akev. If you don't draw the lots, you do not have se'irim, even though what? Even though technically speaking, it's not an avoda. Lefichach, ha'anocha kashira bizar, v'ha'alias ha'garolos min ha'kalfi p'slub bizar. We'll say this is very interesting. Therefore, the drawing of the lots itself cannot be done by a non-coin. We'll say this is very unique. Even though what? Even though it's not an avoda. So normally if it's not an avoda, it can be done by a non-coin. But here it's different. Why? Because every part of the Yom Kippur service must be done by the Kohen Gadol. Therefore, even though it's not an avoda, it is part of the Yom Kippur service. Therefore, it must be done by the Kohen Gadol. If it's done by a zar, by a non-Kohen, it is pasul. And if you did not draw the lots, it's ma'akev, you don't have se'irim. But, interestingly enough, if a non-Kohen placed the lots on the two se'irim, that is kosher. Why? Because even though, again, the placement of the lots is a mitzvah, but because it's not an indispensable part of the avoda of the day, it could even be done by an non-coin. Right. Oh, okay. Also, one more thing. If one of the Arich says, what if one of the Seirim dies? So again, that's going back to the Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. We paskin like Rabbi Shimon. The Seir HaMishtaleach LaAzazel, the Seir that's going to be sent out to the wilderness, must remain alive until the Kohen has the opportunity to confess, to do Vidui on it. If the animal died before Vidui, we'll discuss what you have to do. If you have to do a whole new lottery, if you have to just bring a replacement animal. But as long as the animal was alive until Vidui and died after Vidui, we pass along to Rabbi Shimon that you don't have to bring another Seir La'azazel.
So if the non-Kohen does the placement, it's good because of what? It's good because